morning, everybody, and welcome into That Movie Show, presented by Showcase Cinemas. Mike Wendt and Eddie McCabe taking you through another week of movies. And be sure to go to our website, thatmovieshow.net, where it has the full archives, audio and video, of our podcast version of the show. Plus, if you subscribe to the audio feed, you get this radio show every Saturday morning on demand. Eddie, how you doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's a great day for movies.
Indeed, it is. It's a great day for movies, and it's kind of a fun week for movies. I mean, we're going to talk about the Pixar thing that's happening next week at Showcase Cinemas, but Sonic opened up, and after all the rigmarole of the whole animated character and stuff, and the backlash that happened to the point that they had to reanimate the character,
yeah.
It sounds like the studio did the right thing, because the reviews are great. It's making money. It is the best opening weekend ever for a video game movie, which I want to talk about in a second. But you went and saw Sonic at Showcase. Yes. Let me know your thoughts.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. I thought that I was a proponent of this. I talked about it on last week's show, how we kind of owe it to this movie to go and see it, right? They took the time. They like heard the fan feedback. They took the time to do it right, to fix it. And it would be a disservice to the movie, good, bad, or indifferent, if we didn't support that decision. Now, talking about the actual movie, mm-hmm. Man, this is a very fun family movie. Like, they did a great job making this accessible to all kinds of fans of Sonic, whether new or old, or people that have never seen the character before. This is a great, like, right now we're in the middle of February vacation for right. a lot of kids. And this is a perfect movie for, on a day like today that's cold and rainy, to go to a Showcase Cinemas and go see this movie. It's the best opening for a video game movie. And look, that's not saying much.
I was going to say, because when I read that headline, I'm like, wait a minute. Aside from the original Resident Evil, I can't think of a good video game movie. Can you?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because video game movies have been so terrible that, you know, the bar's very low. I mean, right. We're talking about the first Resident Evil movie. We're talking about Detective Pikachu, you know, and like... Sure. Like, it's kind of like the same conversation we had when Jennifer Lopez's Hustlers came out and was like, this is the highest grossing Jennifer Lopez movie of all time. And it's just like, well, that's really deceiving, because prior to this, the best opening she had was like Ice Age 2.
Right. You know? Which doesn't count as a Jennifer Lopez movie.
And so the bar's really low. Right. I think that part of the issue is that the selection of movies that they make, like... Resident Evil, kind of the first one, kind of lends itself to a horror and a horror movie. But it's like the fun part of like House of the Dead, right. was like the first person shooter aspect. It's not right. an engrossing story, right. you know, that drives that. And so like the plots that they're like the video games that they've decided to make yeah. have not been quality games.
Now, refresh my memory, because I know I've seen House of the Dead once. Now, that was another Sega one.
Yeah.
And I know that during the movie, they intercut shots from the video game.
Yes, it's garbage.
Wasn't it basically Club Dread?
It was basically Club Dread, but it was serious.
Okay, so they weren't joking around. They actually were trying to take it serious, even though they were intercutting 16-bit yeah. footage into it.
And like they tried to do some cool Matrix stuff-esque stuff in it, where there were parts of the movie where like a character would like jump to shoot a shotgun, and it would like the camera would 360 around them.
That was cool.
And it was like, that's cool for 2001. Right? But yeah, it's like garbage. It's a garbage thing. But you look at... There are better games, like the one that people have been clamoring for in like the video game community for so long has yeah. been the Metal Gear Solid franchise.
Okay.
Because that game is so story driven, like there are so many cutscenes that are cinematic, and it's engrossing, and it lends itself to be a good movie because it's interesting, right? As opposed to like the Super Mario Brothers, where it's just like, those things are paper thin. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I've always felt that with, especially with video games, when I'm looking at the list of video games, because now that I'm looking through a list, Tomb Raider, the Angelina Jolie version did some money. But the reboot did nothing. I find the ones that do better seem to be the ones that are story based games. Like, like you point to Resident Evil, and that was very easy because Resident Evil, the video game, was a story itself. Now, the sequels, I think there's like nine of them. They went really hard off the rails.
I really like the second one. Mm-hmm. I feel the second one felt a lot like Resident Evil 2. You know, it felt that you were in Raccoon City. There was a lot, you know, it felt very similar to Resident Evil 2. And I really liked that movie. I think that that one's really, really good. But yeah, you look at some of these games and it's just like, why did you make a Blood Rain game?
They made They made a Double Dragon video game that was, I mean, you might as well have just gone and played the video game. It is silly, stupid. One that I kind of like, I'm not going to say it's a good movie, but I kind of liked, I definitely liked the video game, was Max Payne with Mark Wahlberg. And again, that was a story-based video game. But I feel that Max Payne fell under the same problem that a lot of the video game movies fall under. They take these adult-oriented video games and PG-13 them out so that the kids will go watch them.
Right.
And it's like you took a game that included cursing, violence, and sex and watered it down for kids.
Right.
The audience for the video game are adults.
Right, exactly.
It would be like them releasing a PG version of a Grand Theft Auto game.
Yeah, right.
Why did you go waste your money?
Exactly. And that's kind of the poor decision making that they've made. I think the studio executives, this is one of those like they're slightly out of touch things where it's like, yeah, it's a video game. It's for kids. And it's just like, no, like Grand Theft Auto isn't for children. You know, like that's for adults. And it's like if you took the story, because like everybody really likes the story from Vice City and San Andreas. Now, to be fair, Vice City is just Scarface.
It's Scarface voiced by Ray Liotta.
Yeah, it's Ray Liotta Scarface. So there's that. But people also really like the story of CJ from San Andreas.
Correct.
And, you know, so it's like if you were to tell the story of CJ from San Andreas, like that would be very interesting. It would also have Samuel L. Jackson in it probably, which would be very interesting.
Fun.
but yeah, that's an R-rated. That's an R-rated movie and an R-rated game, and I think people would enjoy it. But yeah, like you're right. Having Max Payne be a PG-13 movie, it's just like it's about doing drugs with like an undercover cop and like
excessive amounts of hard drugs.
Yeah,
is like a main plot point of the game.
Yeah, so it's like I don't know, but again, I you know, it's like Mortal Kombat, right?
Yeah,
you look at Mortal Kombat and it's like the fun part is the violence, and then you didn't do that part.
You didn't do any of that.
You know, the one that I, you know, because it's like, oh, what's one of the biggest games in the world? One of the biggest games in the world is World of Warcraft, right? Which is like a massive online multiplayer.
They made that a couple of years ago.
They did make that. And it's like, oh, that's stupid because you're the main player interacting in this world. Like, there's no real story development. Whereas it's just like I said, like a Metal Gear Solid, where it's like, oh, there's like a huge, intricate plot with character and dialogue, and like, you know, you should do that.
And then you got the, the list I'm looking at here. The Rock has done two video game movies.
Yes.
2018, he had Rampage, which was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, an arcade game.
It was an arcade game,
right? It was basically King Kong, but somebody already owned King Kong, so they just made Rampage, and instead now it's The Rock and a giant gorilla beating up a city in the movie.
Yeah, more or less.
I kept getting confused because it came out around the same time as Skyscraper, and it was like there was two movies where The Rock was demolishing a city, and I couldn't remember which one was which.
Both of those movies, and one day we should just, on this show, just break down The Rock's filmography, because
I would love to.
It's bananas. But yeah, first of all, both of those movies, very watchable. Like, I wouldn't...
One of them, he's doing Die Hard, and the other one, he's with the gorilla, right?
Yeah. So, one is with a gorilla, and... That one is Rampage, and that's a lot of fun. And then the other one, it's Die Hard with a prosthetic leg.
Right.
And it is bonkers and very fun.
Very fun. I believe the prosthetic leg Die Hard just hit HBO, so I'm going to have to check that out.
I watched it on Amazon, so.
Exactly. It's one of those movies. And in my recommendations, I actually have my first warning of this show, because I have a recommendation and a warn, because I need a palate cleanser after watching this personal one. Anyway, so the second one is Doom that The Rock did.
Yeah.
Which Doom was like the original first-person shooter. The original, like, oh, this is a heavy, violent first-person shooter. It was like Doom followed by Duke Nukem, which why Duke Nukem hasn't gotten a movie is beyond me. I mean, I guess he did. It's just basically Evil Dead.
There's that. Also, it's very, very not okay in 2020.
Yeah, I guess not. I could see that being problematic at best.
Yeah.
But Doom was, the movie was terrible.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. It was absolutely. But
didn't they even try to do like some first person stuff in the movie?
Yeah, at the beginning. And again, it's people that are kind of slightly out of touch, because it is a bunch of people being like, oh, it's a first person shooter. We should make the movie first person shooter. And it's just like, no, that's not why people like this game. Like, you know, and that
no
kind
idea
of brings
how many Resident Evil movies there were. I'm actually looking down the list. It's like Extinction, Afterlife, Apocalypse. Where's the other one? What's the last one here? Resident Evil Retribution. That's a good one.
So many
dramatic titles.
But then the reason why Sonic works is you took the character and you took the personality of the character and you put him in a movie. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't say that this movie of Sonic the Hedgehog made me like, oh my God, this is what playing Sonic the Hedgehog is like in movie form. Like,
because Sonic the Hedgehog was basically Super Mario Brothers, but with gold rings instead of mushrooms. It was you run, you jump, you collect things, you go fast, and you go to the right until you get to the end.
Yeah, right.
That's not a movie.
Right. But the character's attitude, and Jim Carrey is delightful.
I've heard that.
Like, Jim Carrey, he was just like, I kind of want to do Ace Ventura, and it just, but like slightly different. And it was like, oh, I am here for it.
Right.
I am here for it. It's imagine if Ace Ventura was smart. Like, that's Dr. Robotnik, and he is so good. It's so fun. It's a fun, like, again, you know, everything about it is it's a fun road trip movie with this video game character, this iconic video game character.
Right.
And there are moments in it. There's like, you know, there'll be a part in the movie where a song will play. And if you played the games, you're like, oh, I know that song. Like, it's a fun throwback, and there's little Easter eggs here and there. And it's just, it really works. And I think it, you know, I hate to bring everything kind of back to Marvel, but it's like, oh, you were true to the character. Mm-hmm. You put this character in these situations and it worked because you were true to the character.
Right.
You know,
so who was Sonic's little sidekick in like the sequel?
Tails.
Okay. Was he in this?
He's
is that a spoiler? Or
I mean, not really. It's the after credit thing.
Okay, so he does show up for the sequel next.
He'll show up for the sequel, which again is fun. I mean, it's, you know, they're building a world. There may or may not be a reference to Mario in there, which is kind of interesting.
Interesting.
You know, so we'll see. But
yeah, it's great, and it's making money, which is nice for a change for these video game movies. I mean, like we said, it's the top grossing video game movie of all time. But again, that's not saying, well, the opening weekend. But
yeah,
it's not, that's again not saying too much, that the competition wasn't too stiff. But recommendation from Eddie to go see it. And if you're going to go see it, you should have Showcase Subscribe. Go to ShowcaseSubscribe.com and sign up for your plan today. You can see more movies a month with plans starting as low as $11.95. You can pick the subscription plan that works best for you, whether it's an individual plan or a group plan. You can even give plans as gifts. It is so convenient. It is so handy. You just pick your movie, you pick your seat, and you are good to go with Showcase Subscribe. ShowcaseSubscribe.com. Of course, Showcase Cinemas, proud sponsor here of That Movie Show, and we suggest you head over to thatmovieshow.net and subscribe to our podcast, because we do this in long form every week where we deep dive into different movies. This week, I believe we're doing Jojo Rabbit for episode 99. Yeah. We are almost at episode 100.
Ooh, it's gonna be fun.
How about that?
somebody let us do this for 100 episodes?
Right? Right? And that's some bonus episodes thrown in there.
That's crazy.
Moving on to, I mean, continuing on the talk of, you know, I guess it plays into Sonic. We mentioned sequels. I think 2020 is definitely going to be remembered, as far as movies are concerned, as the year of sequels.
Yeah.
Legacy sequels, to be more specific. We already had Bad Boys for Life in January.
Yeah.
And then coming up the rest of the year, we got Top Gun 2 or Top Gun Maverick in June. August, we got Bill and Ted 3, a.k.a. Bill and Ted Face the Music. In July, we have Ghostbusters 3, a.k.a. Ghostbusters Afterlife. Apparently, filming is going to begin on Legally Blonde 3 as well, which is 10 years after the last Legally Blonde movie, unless you don't count the spinoffs, and then it's 16 years since the last Reese Witherspoon appearance. Geez.
Yeah, and then I just saw pictures, set photos from Matrix 4.
Oh, Matrix 4, Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good to try to shoehorn it in.
Yeah, it's weird because it looks like Trinity is just hanging out with John Wick. It's real weird.
Now, is that okay? So, because that's coming out in 2000. Is it coming out this year?
It's coming out the same day as John Wick 4.
But is it this year or next year?
Next year, I believe.
Okay. So we're getting Bill and Ted this year. Next year, we get John Wick. We basically get Keanu Day.
We have Keanu Day, which I will live stream the entire thing.
I would enjoy watching that, actually. Watching Eddie go nuts on Keanu Day.
Yeah, just Keanu Day.
Just make sure you're in a Showcase Cinemas lobby doing the whole thing.
Look, here's the thing. The Showcase, I have their number.
Yes.
Because they're our presenting sponsor. I am going to do my best to just do, like, simultaneously figure out how to do a marathon where it's all three John Wicks, all three Matrixes, leading up to a double feature of John Wick 4 and Matrix 4.
It's going to be the greatest day in Eddie's life.
It will be.
We talked about the Batman being your personal hell. This is basically his personal heaven.
Look, here's the thing. I don't know how to reach him. If somebody has Keanu Reeves' phone number, please text me, DM me, email me. I don't care.
I think you just put it out into the universe and he'll show up eventually.
Like, how do I watch both movies, or at least one of them, because I don't want to be greedy. How do I watch John Wick 4 with Keanu Reeves?
Ooh, that sounds like we're borderlining into Make-A-Wish territory.
He's nice enough. He might just do it. I don't know.
Make it happen. You know what? Make a vision board of just Keanu's.
Yeah, I'll tell him about my expanded Keanu-verse. It won't weird him out at all.
It all started with Shane Falco.
Yeah, it all
Johnny Utah playing in college football together.
Yeah, the Keanu verse all stems from Keanu Reeves being a college quarterback of some kind. That's where it all stems from, and then it splinters out from there. I think we did it in the Replacements episode. You can find my Keanu verse theory.
That's absolutely where you fleshed it out, because we've done a few Keanu movies, some even accidentally, and some you've just worked Keanu into Star Wars, I believe, somehow. But yeah. Definitely our Replacements episode, a.k.a. XFL the Movie, has the full Keanuverse explained to you. So
also,
go to thatmovieshow.net.
Also, not bad, the actual XFL reboot.
You know, it's not terrible.
It's like, I've been saying it to everybody when we've talked about it, it feels like a B-level college.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, oh, this is definitely watchable on a Saturday.
Yeah. And who would have thought that if they took all the circus shenanigans of the old XFL out and just played football, it would work.
Right. I
might be weird, but am I the only one that misses going into the cheerleaders' locker room at halftime?
Yeah. in a dream sequence somehow.
With Rodney Dangerfield?
It's weird. Weird. It was a weird time.
It was such a terrible time.
It was a weird time. That was a weird league. But we did get the hangy dangly cam.
Yes, we did. That's the thing. You know, it's not that XFL show, but it obviously could be. The biggest thing that we don't give the XFL, the original XFL, credit for is all the visual innovations of football today.
I do think that there's one thing that the NFL is definitely going to steal. They have sideline reporters kind of after like big plays run up to players and like talk to them on the broadcast.
It's going to bum rush them on the sidelines.
Yeah. So I definitely think that the NFL is going to streamline that and figure that out, because it's like, yeah, this player just made a huge interception and ran it back for a defensive touchdown. Yeah. What does Stephon Gilmore have to say after, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's an innovation that this current XFL will be stolen from. Awesome. Like,
I'm all for it. I'm all absolutely for it. And of course, not that XFL show. Terrible segue going into it, but we always have to thank Showcase Cinemas for presenting that movie show. Go to showcasecinemas.com right now. And coming next Saturday, the 29th, they're doing something very cool in the Dedham Theater, the Legacy Place Theater in Dedham.
It's becomes my favorite one.
Right. And they're doing a lot of these cool marathons, and we love being a part of these marathons. And this next Saturday, not today, but next Saturday, the 29th, they're doing the Onward Pixar Marathon at Legacy Place in Dedham. And they're showing, let me see, they got Ratatouille, Wall-E, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., Up, and Finding Nemo in a 6-movie marathon that is finished with an advanced screening of Onward. It is really cool, especially if you're a Disney Pixar fan, as Eddie and myself are. Absolutely. This is definitely an event you should be getting tickets for. These marathons are a lot of fun, and this one they're keeping relatively short. They're not doing a 3-day Marvel marathon.
Yeah, so it's not every Pixar movie.
They're just playing the hits because they know the audience they're going to be playing to. So it would be a great Saturday to spend with the kids at the movie theater. Go to showcasecinemas.com, and it's right there on the homepage. The Onward Pixar Marathon happening next Saturday, the 29th, at Legacy Place in Dedham. We thank Showcase Cinemas for presenting that movie show, and as always, we suggest you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thatmovieshowtv. You can get our videos, you can get our news, you can get all the good stuff that's happening with that movie show today, yesterday, and in the future. Eddie, last topic of the show before we get to recommendations, I saw this, and we've been talking reboots and we've been talking sequels and all that stuff, and apparently Lee Whannell has been hired to write and possibly direct the reboot of the John Carpenter, Kurt Russell classic from 1981, Escape from New York. And of course, fans of the movie, as myself, have their reservations about it. Mm-hmm. But it feels like, and it even says it in the quote, as a way to potentially win over the fans, Lee, the writer, is suggesting that they hire Wyatt Russell to play Snake Plissken. Of course, Wyatt Russell being Kurt's son.
So first of all, I actually really like Wyatt Russell. Everything I've seen him in, I've really enjoyed. I thought he's done a great job. I it's weird because this movie kind of falls in like a weird gray area. I think that if we're going to reboot stuff, we shouldn't reboot good stuff.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, and again, this movie kind of falls in like a weird gray area because the reason why it's good is that it's not good. You know what I mean?
It definitely, as far as, I mean, I called it a classic. I love the movie, but I'm a gigantic, not only Kurt Russell and John Carpenter fan, but I'm a fan of the two of them together.
Right.
And they did a lot of great stuff in the late 70s and early 80s. But it would, if I was being more honest, it would fall under the cult classic category.
Right. And so this movie in particular, it's a weird gray area. I would rather see a legacy sequel with them than with a Wyatt reboot. Right. Yeah. With Wyatt Russell, as opposed to a reboot. I think that
like almost what they did with Fury Road. You don't need to. There doesn't need to be an explanation why Tom Hardy isn't Mel Gibson. just like there wouldn't have to be an explanation why Wyatt Russell isn't Kurt Russell. It's just Snake Plissken. Let's move on.
Yeah, this is because I don't know if you remember. Also, who cares? Because Escape from L.A. came out in the 90s. So
most of us have tried to forget about Escape from L.A.
But the ending to Escape from L.A. ends pretty cool, right? It ends with him basically turning the world back into the Stone Age, right, by destroying all electronics. Right. And it's like, yeah,
that's even similar to the end of Escape from New York, where he basically resets the world in that one as well.
Right.
It's the example. And I'm going to throw out, it's the example I use all the time when I see, like, you know, influencers and those types. It's like, I would love to escape from New York, the internet, and just watch all of them cry.
Yeah, right.
Let's set it all back to zero. You have zero followers. What do you have? I have a skill.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely true on that one. But, you know, it would be interesting to watch that as opposed to just like rehashing the Escape from New York plot. I think that I would rather see a legacy sequel than a reboot, I think, now that I've actually like seen these things. But I think Mad Max Fury Road is a perfect example of the type of legacy sequel that I would like to see, where it's like, you know, I don't need to see what Lethal Weapon 5 is going to look like. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely don't need that movie.
Well, we've seen it. Just watch Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
5 and 6.
I don't need Lethal Weapon 5 with Danny Glover. Right. You know what I mean? But at the same time, yeah. Escape from movie with Wyatt Russell, that interests me.
Sure. I agree wholeheartedly. I would love to see a legacy sequel to it, especially because the themes in it could very easily be modernized to 2020 society.
Right, correct.
Yeah. So that would be more interesting than just, let's just take the original script and kind of change a few things to make it. Let's add an iPhone here and there. You know what I mean?
Right. We
been there, done that. You don't have to play the hits. Get something new.
Yeah, right. Because that's the problem with these reboots, is they end up falling flat because none of the story is new and fresh, so nobody is shocked by anything that happens.
Right.
And it's not like you're remaking anything worth watching. You know what I mean? But I would also love to see reboot. If we're going to reboot stuff, let's reboot bad stuff.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to throw this out there because I have no idea what would happen. But it's like, Geely was a bad movie. So let's reboot Geely and see what that looks like. You know what I mean? Like, what does that movie look like? Do you play it tongue in cheek and like kind of funnier romantic comedy, or do you try and make a serious love story? I would rather see you try that than, oh, we need to remake The Princess Bride.
Yeah, Geely has some real problematic elements in 2020, though.
Yeah, right. Right. I just think, you know, I think it would just be a very fun way to.
Sure. Sure. Let's reboot. What is it? What was that horrible movie? Battlefield Earth. There you go.
Yeah, let's reboot Battlefield Earth.
Let's start there. Any recommendations before we wrap up here? What do you got?
So now that it's actually like on a variety of services, you can rent it or buy it on YouTube. You could buy it on Amazon. The 2020 or the 2019 Best Picture winner, Parasite. Mm-hmm. That movie is awesome. Mm-hmm. You know it. You watch movie like Bong Joon-ho also did Snowpiercer.
Yes, he did.
And I just love the way that man tells a story. It's very fun. Parasite is great. The less you know about it, the better. Mm-hmm. And you just need to go into it and watch it.
There you go. And of course, my recommendation this week is one of my favorite movies of all time, and it's one of those movies I'm surprised that not more people know about it. It's 1993's True Romance, directed by Tony Scott, written by Quentin Tarantino. It's one of those ones that every few months I'll be just sitting there, I have nothing to watch. True Romance saves the day every single time. I absolutely love it. My warning, and this was one I was really kind of looking forward to, seeing, because the trailer looked kind of cool. I wasn't expecting to take it too seriously. It seemed like a tongue-in-cheek movie, but it was not great. The 2019 sequel to Shaft.
Ah, boo.
Samuel Jackson was great playing Samuel Jackson, But the kid in it, Jesse T. Usher, who I love in Survivor's Remorse, it's a great show on Stars. He was just so, like, they hammered home the point so much that he wasn't gonna be like Shaft. Like, he was so cornball-y, where Shaft is so smooth and cool, that it was and it just, the story was bad. It was just it was a very weak plot. Let me put it that
way. Yeah, of course.
Thank you for joining us for another week of That Movie Show, presented by Showcase Cinemas. You can follow myself and Eddie on social media at Mike Wendt, at the Eddie McCabe, hashtag That Movie Show. And be sure to head over to our website, thatmovieshow.net, where you can find the archives of our podcast, subscribe to the audio podcast, get the video podcast, all the fun and shenanigans we have here on That Movie Show can be had over at thatmovieshow.net. And we will see you next week at the movies.
Bye, everybody. That's Movie Valley, Movie Hollywood, where any office boy or young mechanic